Welcome to those who are joining the visit. Welcome to this great adventure. The journey is now truly beginning, although for us it is the second stage of the visit. The expedition to search for the highly prized spices, the real treasure that is cultivated in the Moluccas island, is now beginning. This expedition involves five ships: San Anton, Concepcion, Trinidad, Victoria, and Santiago. There are 250 men in the crew, led by Fernando Magallanes, the Portuguese navigator who proposed this journey. Are you ready? In August 1519, the five ships departed from the port of Sevilla, sailing down the Guadalquivir River and making a brief stop at the Canary Islands. We would love to be in the Canary Islands enjoying the sun, right? But at that moment, the ships are being loaded with provisions. We need to consider that this uncertain and long journey will require a significant amount of food and drink. They set sail from the Canary Islands and continue sailing south. At this time, Castilla and Portugal are enemies, and the Castilian king has imposed several conditions for the journey. First, they cannot touch Portuguese ports, and second, the captain of the entire expedition, Fernando Magallanes, has to communicate their route to the other captains of other ships. The expedition is under the command of a Portuguese sailor, an enemy of our king, and it arouses suspicion. Everyone knows that Fernando Magallanes is a good navigator, but he does not communicate the route. They have to cross the entire Atlantic Ocean by now. But how do they actually navigate? Navigation will depend on the winds, currents, and other factors. If it's too hot, their feet will stick to the ships. If there are large storms, they will jump from one side of the ship to the other, and the crew will end up completely soaked. We need to think about what navigation techniques they will use. At that time, these ships were equipped quite differently from today's ships, which have GPS and sonar to measure depth and distance. They relied on astronomical navigation tools, such as the compass, the astrolabe, or even celestial navigation. These great navigators were always guided by the stars. There are days of great storms, days of great heat with no wind, which hinders their progress. They cross the Atlantic Ocean and arrive at the Bay of Santa Lucia in December 1519. The Bay of Santa Lucia is what Rio de Janeiro is to us today. They will be there for about 15 days, repairing the ships, loading provisions, and having their first contacts with other cultures. The sailors find them exotic. They are almost naked. It is the first time these sailors see that not everyone in the world is like them. Through the journey, they will encounter different races and cultures. The 15 to 20 days they spent in the Bay of Santa Lucia will probably be remembered as the best moments of the journey, although they are still uncertain about where they are going. The distrust with the captain is significant, and the first problems between the Castilian captains and Fernando Magallanes begin, which will end quite badly. In early January 1520, they left the Bay of Santa Lucia and started sailing south. But why south? Because Magallanes had already reported on a map in Lisbon, Portugal, that there was a passage that connected America with the Moluccas. They are looking for that place to cross from South America to those islands where the clove tree grows. They continue south and suddenly see an area that could be the coveted passage. Of the five ships, the smallest one, the Nau Santiago, is sent ahead as a vanguard for these explorations, slowly making its way through what it is believed to be a passage, but discovers that at some point it's fresh, sweet water. We know where we are at this moment, still in what we know as the River Plate, between Buenos Aires on one side and Montevideo on the other. They have not found the passage. The crew's discontent grows as Captain Fernando Magallanes persists in his attempt to navigate south, convinced of the existence of this passage. They keep advancing, and what is a spring for us is the austral winter that they are now approaching. They navigate through very cold waters, arriving at areas where no Europeans have ever sailed before. In March 1520, Fernando Magallanes discovered a bay where they will be somewhat more protected from the cold and icy winds that they are now experiencing. They will spend the winter there. At this point, the crew's discontent is total. They give Magallanes an ultimatum, asking him to tell them the course that will lead them out of there. However, he does not communicate with the other captains of the other ships. The crew's discontent grows further as food rations are reduced to last through the winter. Hunger, cold, and an uncertain destiny make for a very difficult moment for the expedition, in which a great mutiny will occur. Most of the crew members participate in this mutiny, wanting to remove the captain and replace him with someone more communicative who can participate in the life of the ship. At first, it seems that this mutiny will be successful, but at the end, Fernando Magallanes, an incredible observer of what is happening around him, puts an end to the mutiny by killing its leaders. In a normal situation, they would all have been killed, but Magallanes cannot afford to do that, because he needs men, he needs sailors to govern the ship. The mutineers are punished, but their lives are spared. Juan Sebastián Elcano also participates in this mutiny, and we must keep in mind that he will be the captain in the last part of the expedition. While in the Bay of San Julián, in the south of what is now Argentina, where they are wintering, they will have another encounter with the local population. They see very tall people wrapped in skins, and because of their great stature and large feet, they call them Patagons. They learn about the animals from which these people obtain the skin they use to cover themselves. Even today, 500 years later, we still call that vast territory in the south of Argentina Patagonia. We must imagine the cold and sailor are enduring, dressed in loose pants and shirts, a kind of jacket to protect themselves from the cold, and a red cap or bonnet. They were surprised by the way these Patagonians were dressed, as they were poorly dressed for the cold they were experiencing at that time in South America. They leave the Bay of San Julián in June 1520 and continue sailing south. Here they have their first accident with one of the ships. The Nau Santiago sinks, but its crew is saved. They continue sailing towards the south, and the cold is hard to handle. They see territories covered entirely in snow, and they start to see a completely different wildlife. The lands are inhospitable, and there is practically nothing. In October 1521, they arrive at a cape, which they call the Cape of 11,000 Virgins, where they see a water inlet with a series of straits. They send two exploration ships, the San Anton and the Concepción, to cross these straits, which we know today as the Strait of Magallanes, which is actually a 500-kilometer-long area. After 2 months of sailing in these dangerous narrow channels with ice currents, they arrive at a zone where they confirm that they have found the strait that Fernando Magallanes told them about. They crossed the Strait of Magallanes in November 1520, 1 year and 3 months after their departure from Sevilla. They lose some men in a mutiny and some men die due to disputes. Food is scarce and they realize that they do not have the right conditions to continue. The crew of the San Anton decides to desert the expedition and return to Sevilla, which has great consequences, as the San Anton is the largest ship and acts as the expedition's pantry. At this moment, they do not know what they will find later, and they will have to cross the world's largest ocean, the Pacific one. The real dimensions of the Earth were not known, and it is much larger than they thought. They sail for 3 months without touching land, and they start to have problems with food, hunger, and disease, which leads to great moments of scurvy. They call it the plague of the sea, as they did not know the real cause of the disease, which is the absence of fresh food. Finally, they arrived in the Philippines, which they call the archipelago of San Lázaro. There, Magallanes forgets the true objective of the expedition, which was to reach the Moluccas, and dies in April 1521 in the midst of battles. The expedition is left without a captain, and the number of crew members is significantly reduced. They decide to burn the worst-conditioned ship, and they only have the Victoria and the Trinidad left. From April 1521 to September 1521, they walk from island to island, not knowing where to go. In September 1521, they decide to name one of the more experienced sailors, Juan Sebastián Elcano, as the new captain of the expedition. In November of the same year, and 2 years and 3 months later, they go to the Moluccas. We are at the end of the second stage of the tour. We are going to enter through the estuary of the Oria, and we are in Orio, a city where very important shipyards and a city of fishermen, including Basque whalers, who would reach as far as Newfoundland in northeastern Canada. This is the city where the last whale caught on our shores was captured on May 14, 1901, which is commemorated in a festival that takes place every 4 years and also in the song popularized by Benito Lertxundi. The most important sport here is rowing. It refers to the traditional Basque fishing boats called traineras. Here in Orio we have the High Performance Rowing Center of Arrauneche, the Basque rowing house where we can see the trainers from Orio training every day with these yellow fishing boats, that it is almost a religion for them. This rowing club has won the most trophies in the entire Basque country, and in Arrauneche, visitors have the opportunity to experience what it feels like to be an authentic Basque rower in a trainera, trainerilla, or batel. All kinds of water activities are available to all visitors who come to our city.
Thank you. Thank you.